The Old Testament lesson is from the prophet Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is according to the letter to the Hebrews. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance, with our hearts sprinkled clean from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 22nd chapter. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it. They said to him, Where will you have us prepare it? He said to them, Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, The teacher says to you, Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished, prepare it there. And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out is the new covenant in my blood. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for tonight's message comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. And you know that you were ransomed from the fruitful ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest at the end of times for your sake. You know, as we gaze at the cross, we think of the events of this week that began on Palm Sunday and, of course, ends on Easter Sunday. The very fact that Christ died and suffered for us. He suffered the wrath of God for us. The cross is a cruel symbol because it's a terrible way to die, but it's also a symbol of great love. Because Christ redeemed us by his blood. In order to do that, he had to die between two cursing thieves and gambling soldiers at his feet. The passage from Peter tells us we were not ransomed with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Jesus gave himself up for us. He sacrificed himself for us. We don't have to suffer the consequences of our sin. For that, I am truly thankful. As we come up for communion in a few minutes, we'll relive the suffering and death of our Savior for us. He showed us great love. There's a story that in Scotland, at a rock quarry, they were preparing to set off the charges. They wired it up. The men had gone to a place of safety, and they had lit the fuse, and they were waiting for it to blow. And then they realized there was a small child by the explosives. None of them were willing to go rush out to try to grab the child, but the child's mother saw what was going on, and instead of yelling and scaring the child, she just put her arms out like this, smiled at the child, and the child came running to her, and both were safe when the explosion went off. Jesus comes to us with his arms opened up on the cross itself. And communion takes us back to the words, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." Jesus did not only die for the person next to you, he died for you. He suffered and died for you. We are God's chosen children. When the Bible talks about God's children, that's us. And we're not redeemed with gold or silver, but with his blood. You know, when we gather at the foot of the cross, we gather, if we were really there, we gather to live with Jesus. Rembrandt painted a very famous picture of the crucifixion of Christ. Immediately, your attention is directed towards the cross itself. After you've looked at that, your attention is at the crowd also. But off on the side and in the shadows, Rembrandt painted his own portrait. He wanted the message that the indifference of Pilate could be forgiven, that Christ died for the scheming Caiaphas and the cowardly disciples. We can say it was I who shed the blood. That's the message Rembrandt was getting across. I nailed him to the tree. I crucified the Christ of God. I joined the mockery. There's an invitation in the words, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." We're taken back to that meal through the cross, that he was willing to sacrifice himself for us. The cross brings us the crucified Christ to us. It brings the very presence of Jesus into our lives. Those words, "This is my blood shed for you," brings Jesus of the cross, Jesus of the resurrection, into our world, our bodies, and our souls. It's at the foot of the cross that we experience the great love that God had for us, that divine love. And it's a personal experience, not only at the cross, but when we receive communion. It brings the cross into our lives. "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." These words bring Christ through, with, and under the bread and wine. Those are fancy Lutheran words. We Lutherans believe, that when we take communion, we are receiving the body and blood of Christ and the bread and wine. Now, how is that to be? I can take it to a medical lab, they can examine the bread, and you know what they're going to come back? It's bread. But yet we believe there's also the body of Christ. How is that? We Lutherans then have an answer for that. You know what that answer is? I don't know. I have no idea how it is, but it is. Because God said it is, it is that way. He comes to us in the common elements of bread and wine. And we receive the blood and wine of communion for the forgiveness of sins. The closing story says it all. There was an old man who went to church every Sunday, and he got rather squeamish at the confession of sins. When he came up for communion, his hands shook as he received the wafer in his hand. But the minister noticed and knew his reservations, smiled at him and whispered, "Take it, man, it's for sinners." Exactly what communion is for us sinners. "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. Amen." May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.